Doom do 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 do.
Yay! We're in season 5, plant friends of
Boomango Radio.
Oh my god, welcome to season 5 of Bloom and Grow Radio. Holy moly, who knew? Who knew we'd be at season 5? This is like, I think, the 84th episode of Bloom and Grow. I'm so happy to be back from my little moment of dormancy. I had to take a couple of months off to just recuperate from traveling for an entire year. I needed to plug back in with my plants. I'm back with all of my plants in my beautiful apartment, and I needed to plug back in with my fiance, and we needed to plan our wedding. So we needed a few months off, but plant friends, I'm so excited because season 5 is back, and that means that we will be bringing you planty conversations and planty YouTubes for the remainder of 2020. That's crazy that I have a content calendar that goes through 2020. So thank you for your patience, and I am so excited to be back, and I have never felt more inspired and more excited about some of the conversations that I'm having to bring to you and some of the topics we're going to talk about. It's going to be a great year. And in the midst of that year, I will be planning my very planty wedding. And we're going to do a whole series on the podcast, my planty wedding series, and how to incorporate botanicals into every element of your wedding. So if you guys have planty wedding ideas, always feel free to DM me on Instagram about them. I'm open to hearing your ideas. And if you happen to be a florist in the Berkshires, let me know. We're getting married in the Berkshires and we need plants and flowers, and I'm looking for all those vendors. So hit me up. I'm so excited to be kicking off season 5 with a 101 plant format, African Violets 101. These are some of my favorite episodes where we get to kind of dive deep on a certain type of plant. And I know that I've said this with Leslie Halleck on the show. I feel like I say this a lot, that I feel like African violets are going to have a comeback this year. And even if that means that I'm making the comeback, because I know that sometimes we view them as our like grandma's African violets, but I was gifted one and I've had one for the year, and having it has just been a beautiful experience of watching it bloom. And especially when they bloom in the winter, we have it under a grow light, and it's just been such a joyful experience and a really fun plant that brings a pop of color amidst the green of all of my tropical foliage. So we're making it happen, and we're kicking off season 5 with this amazing conversation with Lisa from the Houseplant Guru. You might remember Lisa from the amazing conversation we had on low light plants for your apartment, and she is back because she is an African violet enthusiast as well. One thing to let you know, that with season 5, we are going to experiment and continue releasing episodes every other week. So after we started doing that in late 2019, we heard from a lot of you that it was actually a more palatable release style for you guys because our episodes are so long. So we are going to do podcast episodes every other week for the remainder of the year. And with the every other week structure, I'm also going to be able to start releasing more YouTube videos because we're super excited about adding some visuals, whether it's pairing with a podcast or whether it's just individual YouTubes on me with my houseplants or doing tours of different places. So we're really excited to just keep exploring and pushing and experimenting with planty conversations and content and video and events. And 2020 is going to be great. So before we dive into the episode, I wanted to say thank you to our newest Patreon patrons, Catherine Seeberger, Nancy Panko, Ashley Campson, Jewel Alexander, Casey Marie, and Thorne. Thank you guys so much for joining our community of plant friends that monetarily support the show on a monthly basis on Patreon. If you're interested, you can check it out at patreon.com/bloomandgrowradio. You guys, this community who supports the show and helps me bring it to as many planty ears across the world as possible, it means so much. And another commitment I have to season 5 is really sourcing episode ideas from you guys and really bringing you guys into the creation process of the podcast a little bit more. I already have been sourcing a lot of questions for guests and episode topics and ideas on Patreon, and Patreon plant friends, get excited because that just means I'm going to be talking with you a lot more, and I've got some ideas on how to do that. So, African violets, I'm so excited for this conversation. I'm so excited to have Lisa back on the show. And before we get to this wonderful conversation that I love, I want to tell you about the Bloom and Grow sponsor of the day, who I love, Plants by Post. Plant friends, Plants by Post is where I have been getting a lot of my plants shipped directly to my door lately. They are a family-owned nursery located in Northern California, and they specialize in indoor and outdoor annuals and perennials. lots of veggies and herbs, and a lot of our favorite houseplants, and they ship nationwide direct to your doorstep from their nursery. So spring is basically here, plant friends, and Plants by Post has restocked with some favorites. They've got vibrant geraniums, aromatic lavenders, semi-trailing bacopa, I think I pronounced that correctly, mini succulents, and lots of great houseplants that I love, like the Ficus Audrey and the Sansevieria Moonshine. And they also have culinary and cocktail herbs and veggies like basil, mint, peppers, and tomatoes. So whether you're building out your herb garden, you're looking to grow some tomatoes this summer, or maybe you're looking to bring some geranium blooms onto your doorstep, some scented lavender, or some houseplants, Plants by Post has you covered. Personally, I've received plant shipments from Plants by Post in 3 different states now because I was just on the road, and all 3 times in each state, the plants arrived in amazing condition with packaging that has been on point. And I love that Plants by Post uses environmentally friendly methods to keep their plants pest and disease free, and they are MPS certified, which means that they keep a very close eye on their energy, water, chemical, fertilizer, and recycling practices and usage. So, plant friends, if you're looking for new plants this spring to reawaken your collection, order online and get healthy, happy plants delivered right to your door from the grower. You can use code BLOOM20 at checkout on plantsbypost.com to get 20% off of your order. So once again, head to plantsbypost.com, check out the amazing offerings they have, and use code BLOOM20 at checkout. Okay, here's Lisa. Do you have upcoming travel to a different country scheduled, or maybe you have a relative or a friend who speaks a different language that you want to connect with on a deeper level? Why not easily learn a new language with my favorite language learning tool, Rosetta Stone? I recently went to Italy and I brushed up on my Italian by using the Rosetta Stone app for like 20 minutes every morning. It was so easy to use. It was part of my morning practice. It was really fun. And let me tell you, Rosetta Stone works. It brushed me up so good. I was getting around Italy easily speaking Italian after putting those reps in. If you don't already know, Rosetta Stone is the trusted language learning tool available on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone has 30 years of experience, millions of users, and 25 languages offered. It makes language learning so fun, so easy, and so fast. It immerses you in the language, which is the fastest way to learn. So it's an intuitive process with no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language. It even coaches you on pronunciation with its true accent feature, which is like basically having a physical trainer for your accent. It's so wild. The desktop and app options make it so easy to do consistently, and it's an amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages forever for any and all trips and language needs in your entire life. So this year I brushed up on my Italian, but next year Billy and I want to go to Japan so we could learn conversational Japanese with it. That's lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone has to offer, and right now they're offering 50% off. It's an insane steal. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Growing Joy with Plants listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life, plant friends. It's an insane deal. Redeem 50% off at Rosetta, R-O-S-E-T-T-A, stone.com/today. Welcome back to Bloom and Grow Radio, Lisa.
Hi, thanks for having me. So excited to be back.
I'm so excited to have you back on the show after our amazing episode on low-light plants in season 4. Listeners, if you haven't listened to it, scroll back into season 4 if you want to learn all about the best low-light plants. It's so fun. And now we're going to have you back to talk African violets. So most of our listeners probably know you from that episode, but for those that don't, I'd love to just know, who is the houseplant guru and how are you helping houseplant people around the world?
I've been growing plants since I was young. My grandma had plants, African violets, lots of them. And my mom did. And I just love plants. I love outdoor plants too, but I'm very partial to indoor plants. And I want everybody to be able to be successful. Everybody has a spot in their house someplace, or at least one houseplant, and they should have one because it's therapy and it makes you feel good. And it, you know, they're just, it's like having a little pet, only you don't have to scoop anything.
Absolutely. It just brings some light, literal life into the home, right?
Yeah. Yes.
I also like that you said, like, it can just be one plant. It doesn't need to be the million plants that I have in my apartment, but yeah, everyone has space for one plant in their life.
Right. I agree.
Absolutely. So African violets, Lisa, I'm going to be real honest with you about African violets. I just killed an African violet like this week. I just left on tour. I was away from the plants for a year. Billy didn't kill any of the plants. All of our plants were thriving when I came home, and I get home and one of our African violets is just circling the drain so badly. So I want to tell you the story of this violet because I think that there were a bunch of issues that I came across with it. And then we can kind of go through the whole care guide and maybe address throughout the conversation of all the things that I did wrong. So maybe our listeners and our community can do it right instead next time. Learn from my mistakes.
Right. We always learn from our mistakes. It's okay to kill houseplants.
Exactly.
We learn.
So, exactly. So I inherited an African violet from a friend who was moving. It was not in bloom. It was in a nursery pot inside of a cash pot or a cash pot. And it just had these like really beautiful fuzzy green leaves. And she said, I don't know if it's going to bloom again, but see. And it definitely didn't bloom or do anything for like 6 months. I had it in super low light. This is before I really understood the light in my apartment. And I thought it was in bright indirect. But after all of the research I've done on light now through the podcast, I know that it was in super low light. Didn't bloom, didn't do anything. I repotted it and I noticed that there are like African violet potting mixes. I think that I didn't have one, but I put like orchid bark in normal potting soil. And then I got the Mod Sprout grow house, which is a little like kind of terrarium that has like a grow light in it. And then the plant started thriving and it started growing new plants in the inside of the rosette, like little leaves that would continue to grow. And then I noticed that the plant kind of turned a different color. And I almost thought, oh, did I overwater it? Or like, it seemed almost to be blushing. And then it started blooming. And then we were like cooking with gas. This is probably in the second year of owning the plant. The plant rebloomed like 3 or 4 times. It had these gorgeous purple, silver, iridescent flowers. It was so fun. And so many of our plants are tropical foliage plants that don't really bloom. Like, having that experience of watching these beautifully colored blooms was so fun. And then I noticed that the outside leaves started turning yellow and like falling off and like maybe getting mushy. So I'm guessing that I overwatered it one time. And then like all of the outer leaves kind of turned yellow and kind of fell off. I like tried to repot. I noticed that like I only had the inner rosette of the plant pretty much that didn't die back. So I tried to like put it in semi-hydro. And that was unsuccessful. Like I couldn't get it to root. Like it was just this like little nub of a root on the bottom. So then I recently just repotted it in soil, but it looks pretty yellow and pretty unhappy and pretty mushy. I think I did a million things wrong, but let's just like preface it that whoever's listening, like no one has done dumber things with African violets than me. So we're going to learn a lot today.
Hey, I've killed so many African violets. I'm in a couple of groups, African violet groups, and I tell them that I did better before I knew so much.
No, yeah. No, so before we just start answering all my troubleshooting questions, I think let's just go through what is an African violet? How do we care for it? And then maybe we can circle back because I know I have questions based off of my experience and we have Patreon supporters who have also sent in questions that I'd love to share with you. First off, like, what is an African violet? What are these magical little plants that have these fuzzy green leaves and bloom for us? And where do we find them in nature?
Okay, so they're actually not violets. Their name, the name St. Paulia Ionantha. Mm-hmm. Ionantha means violet-like flower. So that's where they got, and they're from Africa. So they grow in the Usambara, I don't know if I say that right, mountains in Tanzania, right? At like 7,000 feet. So they're underneath trees. They're kind of growing in crevices, not a lot of soil and, you know, dappled light. So they don't want full sun by any means. And East Africa was, Germany was running it. So this Baron Walter von St. Paul, he sent plants, leaves back to his dad in Germany and he started growing them. This was like in 1892. So then they got to America in about the 1920s.
Really? That's not that long ago. Okay.
No. And then it kind of took off from there. They're in the Gesneriad family. So that's also Columnia's Ascanianthus.
What is a Gesneriad? I don't know. That name like intimidates me. So
I don't know. That's just the family that it's in. That's the family name. So I don't know exactly what that, you know, It's a Jusneria. You know how they put plants in families that their blooms are the same. That's how they, in their DNA now, they're DNAing them, right? So that includes like your columnias, your Ascananthus, Streptocarpus, Streptocarpella. It's a great group plant. And they all kind of grow, you know, in the same conditions that an African violet doesn't. They bloom. Who doesn't want blooms?
Right. Especially indoors.
Yes. So it's a great family of plants. So, and I'm so happy to be talking about African violets because so many people call them, you know, grandma plants. My grandma would just die again if she could see the colors and the flowers that they have now since they've started hybrid, you know, they've hybridized them. She had about three or four plants to choose from back in the 30s and 40s. And then by sports, how they find these plants is they have a whole table full of like purple violets back in the 20s and 30s. And then they'll see one that maybe has more petals than others. So that's how they got the double flowers. And then they found a pink flower just in this sea of blue. There, all of a sudden there's a pink flower. And they hybridize them more not to drop their petals so quickly. So they've hybridized them so that they have fuller flowers, bigger flowers.
Variegated.
Every color in
their
the world.
Their leaves are variegated.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I got to say, I'm predicting that African violets are going to have a comeback just because why wouldn't they?
They're
it's such a cool plant, but I do think that you're right that it feels like it's like your grandma's plant. But I feel like the new violets, it's not your grandma's African violets. There's so many options. And even the one that I had, which was pretty traditional, I mean, it was a standard purple flower, you know, but it was just magical watching it open and even just how like the silver sheen on top of the flowers and these fuzzy leaves, like it's just small. It's not too big. I'm realizing as my plants grow, they're just all getting so big and my space has remained the same, but my plants are all like so much bigger they are when I brought them home. And they're like a nice compact plant. So I am predicting that African violets are going to have a comeback this year.
And even if you don't, I sometimes will look back on my Instagram and you'll see that one of my hashtags I use a lot is who needs flowers. Some of the foliage on a lot of plants, but there's some African violet foliage that if it never had a bloom, I wouldn't care. I mean, it's pink,
truly so beautiful. Yeah. So they're from Tanzania. They're growing in cracks in dappled light. They're not full sun.
No.
They made their way over to us in the 1920s and now have kind of become like totally mainstream. So what do we need to know that's like special about African violets that maybe varies from the other tropical foliage plants that we have?
Okay. So right off the bat, this is my biggest, I don't want to say it's a pet peeve, but it kind of is. So many people, when you're on these groups on Facebook or other, you just hear from all the time that you cannot get their foliage wet. And I'm like, people, they come from Africa. They live outside like every plant on the planet. No, none of them have ever sprouted up in your home unless you have a lot of dirt on the floor, which could probably happen over here. But these plants are grown outdoors and it rains, right? The difference is they're from a tropical area. They grow in the, you know, near the equator. So it's kind of warmer rain. It's not freezing rain or coming out of our hose from a deep well in the ground. So you cannot get, you don't want to use cold water. That's true. And you also don't want to let the water sit in the crown of the plant because, like I said, they're naturally growing in these crevices, like in the sides of cliffs, mountains, you know, up in these upper elevations. They're not growing straight up like we grow them in a pot.
So, so if water sits
in the middle,
because it's leaking
out, because
they're on an angle.
Correct.
Oh, that's very similar to Tillandsia, how you can't, when you water Tillandsia, you can't let the water, you have to flip them over almost when you let them dry out.
I do flip mine over. And like with Phalaenopsis orchids, you know, I've killed a couple of Phalaenopsis orchids because I let the water sit where those leaves come together and they rot off because they also grow at an angle on a tree someplace. So like other epiphytes. So African violets, yes, you don't want to let the water sit in the crown. You don't want to get the water in the leaves and then put them back in the window if you're growing them in the window or under lights because that could burn them. But you definitely can get the foliage wet. So that's just, let's just say that right away.
So I think another thing maybe, because I definitely think that because of my rotted or my mushy foliage, the other thing to think about is if they're near the equator and it rains and their foliage gets wet, the water probably evaporates quicker. Like I'm sure that water doesn't like sit on the leaves, but when you're watering one, or if you're trying to give it like a little bath in your apartment, with no air circulation, those droplets of water could stay on the leaves for several days.
So if I get it in that, you know, in the center, then I'll take a tissue, you know, or paper towel, and I kind of blot out that center. And then you can pat off the leaves, but it is a great, I mean, they're very fuzzy leaves. So you know, you can use a lot of times use a makeup brush or a really soft paint brush to brush the leaves off so they're not dirty. You know, and get the dust off and cat hair in my house. So that works. But then sometimes, you know, if you're, especially if you're maybe growing in the kitchen or something and they get dirty and greasy and whatever, then it doesn't hurt them to have a bath.
Okay. And it is interesting to note that this plant does grow in that kind of rosette. What do you call it when it is like right at the center where that water can't pool at the center? It is kind of a rosette form, right?
Yeah, or definitely.
A name for it?
No, that's it. It grows in a rosette. That's
and all of the new growth comes in the middle of the plant. You'll see right. those little leaves in the middle of the plant.
When you said that your plant's outer leaves were getting yellow, that's normal because the oldest leaves are going to keep falling off.
Because
and that's
the
why
leaves are coming in and getting bigger.
Correct. Yes. I mean, they really shouldn't get too mushy, but that does happen mm-hmm. if you don't take them off right away. So that's not a problem. And you just pull those off. Then that's when that whole, and I don't know if you want to talk about that yet, but that's when you get that, what they call a neck on the violet. So that violet stem gets tall and then you'll just have leaves on the top. So that's why really violets need to be repotted at least once a year.
Okay. Because we've had a couple of questions from our Patreon supporters about repotting. So let's talk about that. So because they're faster growers, they have to be repotted more frequently?
Well, the thing is I'm also speaking from experience of growing under lights. Because mm-hmm. if you are in an African violet society and, you know, these people are very committed to that plant.
Right.
So hardcore. So most of us grow our violets under lights.
Uh-huh.
So that means that they're growing better. But even in the window, those bottom leaves keep continually falling off. So at least once a year, you need to repot them because once that neck gets up where those leaves, old leaves have fallen off, you need to bury that neck back into the soil. But what you're going to do first is where those little leaves fall off, it's called a leaf scar. And it looks callous over. It looked like a little scab.
Mm-hmm.
So I scrape that off with a knife very carefully, like a little paring knife, or even you could even use your fingernail if you wanted, and kind of scrape those scabby parts off. So now that neck of your violet, it's got kind of fresh green tissue.
Mm-hmm.
And however long your neck is, let's say your neck is a half an inch long. When mm-hmm. I'm saying the neck, the stem is a half mm-hmm. an inch long. You're going to take it out of its pot because most of the time, most standard size violets really only want to be in a 4-inch pot.
Okay.
A 4-inch azalea pot. It's shorter than it is, you know, it's a shorter, squattier pot because violets have kind of shallow roots. They don't need mm-hmm. a big pot. So you have a half an inch neck. You're going to cut off a half an inch of the roots. You're just going to take it out of its pot, cut a half an inch off. You're going to put it back down into that same pot. Maybe you might want to wash the pot or get a new pot, fresh pot. And then you're going to bury that neck up to the first set of leaves. So that half an inch is now up under, you've scraped it. So it's fresh tissue. And then you're going to bury it and plant it, and then it will grow roots out of that newly scraped stem. So you just keep putting it back in the same pot, and when I've been in African Violet Society where they'll just rip all those bottom leaves off, and they're really pretty ruthless. They don't want a whole bunch of leaves unless they're growing it for show, and then they want it to be the size of a. I've seen them the size of a trash can lid, you know, huge violets, but they're growing it to look like that. They have special ways they do things.
Okay, so just to recap, the bottom leaves on the African violet are going to naturally yellow and fall off. So correct. Where those leaves fall off, where that leaf gets attached to the main stem is going to callus over. And you're saying that when the plant starts growing a new rosette of leaves and they're going to grow up, it's time to remove those bottom leaves. Scrape the new tissue, cut off the bottom inch of the nub of the stem, and then repot it. So essentially, you're kind of removing the roots from the African violet, but creating that new fresh tissue. So when you pot it up again, the new roots are going to grow.
And you know, I've had people bring me violets when I worked at my husband's garden center that literally had like necks that were 5 inches long. Like they had curled around on themselves. They were old. And at that point, so it wouldn't always be an inch or a half an inch. I want to mm-hmm. clarify that. It's whatever, however tall the stem is how much you're cutting off the bottom. So if it's a half an inch and a half, that's how much of the root ball you're going to cut off. So then you can bury that stem into
that
the
fresh
soil.
Stem.
Right.
Okay. So, because it needs to stay in a 4-inch pot. So you've got to
usually. I mean, you like could maybe. I have friends that have them, like go up to 6-inch pots. If you there's different size violets. You know, there's miniatures, semi miniatures, standards. There's mm-hmm. Some standards get really big, and they could go into a 6-inch pot. So you kind of sometimes you kind of have to research the plant that you actually have. But most standard violets would rather stay in a 4-inch pot. And what you're going to do is take those leaves off, those oldest leaves, and keep transplanting it and keeping it, and it will keep blooming. And you know what I mean?
Okay. So basically the plant is like, it almost like it's a snake, like it needs to shed its leaves, like it needs to shed its skin for the new plant to come. So you can be ruthless there.
Yes.
So, okay. That's interesting.
So, and like I said, that person that brought that one and it had like, it had curled around on itself and it had these little tufts of leaves out here on these snake looking long, brown, awful violet necks. And at that point I beheaded it. I literally took that violet plant right off. I put it into I laid it on top of a fresh pot of moist potting medium. Mm-hmm. I covered it with a Ziploc bag and it so that it would be like a little terrarium or any kind of plant. You could use a terrarium. Just something a cloche or something to keep that humidity up because you've cut all of its roots off now. But that beheaded top will, with moisture and humidity, it will regrow. I have pictures of them growing a year later, and she brought them back in and they were blooming.
Oh, cool.
So you can, but that's really, let's not let our violets get to that point.
right. Okay. So also I feel like let's go back and I want to do basic care and then we can circle back and keep talking about this because this is more troubleshooting. So just in general with care for African violets, because I feel like people think that they're like finicky and that they like require their own soil and their own fertilizer and all that kind of stuff. So what is the basic care in regards to indoors? What light do they need and what watering schedule do they need?
Okay, so let's first talk about window growing. So most people have windows. Like I said, all of us grow under lights, but that doesn't have to happen. They grow just fine in your house. My grandmas always were beautiful. And they really prefer an east window.
Okay.
West window, it's a little hot for them if it's too close to the window, but that's also good light as well. Because we know east and west are kind of the same except for the heat and intensity, a little bit more intense from the west.
Okay.
Okay. So east window, like I said, they need to be like the pot. If you notice when you buy one, they come in a pot that's kind of squat. It's called an azalea pot. Mm-hmm. I think the whole point is it's 3/4 the depth as it is the width. It's just a squattier pot than a standard size pot. Cause like I said, they don't have big root systems. So, and they're going to come in a very, very peaty mix. That's how they grow them. And you can leave it in that and it can be fine. But if you let it dry out too much, cause they want to be kind of kept evenly moist, not standing in water. Because they
evenly moist eternally, so not let the soil dry. They want to be even.
No.
Oh, I'm definitely not doing that with my African violet.
Because they have such little fibrous root systems that if you let them dry out too much, it's going to damage that root system and it will be hard for them to recover.
Okay.
And if you've noticed, if they're in that little pot they come in, it's like almost solid peat moss. And when peat moss dries out, it shrinks away from the edges.
Right.
And it's hard to re-wet it. So at that point, then there's that thing between bottom watering and top watering. Even though we talked about not getting the foliage wet, but there's also, do I top water it? Do I bottom water it? A lot of people think you should bottom water it so you don't get the leaves wet. And that's fine. You can bottom water it. And that's probably the way to do it. If it gets that shrunk away from the sides of the pot, you want to set it in some water, let it soak up water until you see the water get to the top. You can feel that the top of the potting medium is now moist. Mm-hmm. And hopefully it has expanded back out to the edges of the pot, that peat moss. Then you know it's well watered.
So okay.
You can do it that way all the time.
But so can you use normal potting soil or do you need to use specific African violet potting soil?
Well,
like will normal potting soil do the trick?
Well, if you're repotting them. Mm-hmm. And again, I grow under light, so I have a very well-drained potting medium because I'm usually wick watering them, which we can talk about in a little bit. But I tell everybody, if you're buying potting medium, I feel like it needs some amendment. Add a little bit of vermiculite or perlite to it. A lot of times it's the 1-1-1 method. That's the old fashioned method and it still works very well. A lot of people have their own little formulas. They add different things to it, but one part peat moss, one part vermiculite, one part perlite, just equal amounts of each one and mix it up. So it's a little more faster draining, but yet that peat moss keeps it moist.
I like to choose high quality organic soil and like kind of run with it. And I will amend it a little bit, but I'm not making my own mix. I'm like buying a potting mix and then I will throw in some perlite. So I can do normal potting mix and then add some perlite in there.
Yes. And I would
just to increase the drainage a little bit.
Yes. And I would probably buy African violet mix and then add some perlite to it. Yes.
And so, okay. So with light, it likes light, but a softer light because that's Eastern facing, or they do well under. So if you have a southern facing window, that's going to be too much light. What about a northern facing window? We did have a listener write in about their northern facing window.
Yes, I saw that. I think that a north window, you could try it. You know, maybe there's, it's everybody's situation is different. So maybe that north window is maybe facing a little bit east or a little bit west. You know, maybe it's not solidly north, or maybe the house next door is really white, or the, you know, building next door. So it's giving you some reflection from that south sun bouncing into your light, into your room. But as a rule, I'm not sure that African violets will bloom well in a north window.
Gotcha.
It okay, might grow so you're well, gonna but you're probably not going to see any blooms.
So first option, eastern; second option, western; third option, northern; fourth option, southern.
Yeah, southern, we'd have to be back a couple feet from them. And I can tell you that your plants can get sunburnt in your home. We had an African violet on the welcome center at my church. So it was about 6 feet back from a huge bank of south windows. Right? Old windows. They haven't been replaced. They're, you know, there's no coating on them or anything. They're just old fashioned, probably 1950 windows. So it was growing well. I take care of the plants at the church, and I came back the next week, and it was looking really sad. All the leaves had brown. They were all burnt.
Okay. So they turned brown.
Because someone decided it should be in the windowsill of the south window. So just moving it in your home, a plant can get sunburnt, and it definitely did. It recovered because I took all those leaves off, but yeah, south is too much.
So if you have a south and you're going to try to put it in your southern facing window, look at what, be careful, be watching that plant every day.
Or if it has a sheer curtain over it, or maybe some blinds, you know, so it's getting a little bit of light. But yeah, that's a little too intense for them.
So I will say too, the most success where the violet kept reblooming almost once a month, once every 2 months, was when I put it under my grow light. And the Mod Sprout grow light that I have is a softer light. It's not like a bar light that I have. And it's not like my super, super powerful grow light. And it was amazing. So these are plants that if you do have a grow light in your house, whether, you know, you're like me and have them in your bookshelves, in your kitchen, and your every corner of your apartment or not, I feel like it was very happy in my grow light setup. We had Mike who wrote in. We had Jacqueline write in asking for grow light suggestions for African violets. Do you have any?
So I am going to tell you that at this point, I'm still living in what I call the dark ages. And I have T12, the big fluorescent lights that are, you know, and they bloom fine. It works fine, but you know, it's not as efficient. There's more light in the center of the tubes age, blah, blah, blah. So I am at this point, I'm either going to go, I have friends that say they like their T8s. Okay. And we have 4 foot shelves. We buy these 4 foot shelves at the local, you know, hardware or big box store, these 4 foot wire shelves that are meant to store things on. And then we use 4 foot shop lights. And then we put in them the LEDs, the T8s, T12s, whatever works. And then they're about 10 to 12 inches from those lights.
Okay. So that's the trick. So you're keeping them farther from the lights than obviously you would put a succulent. You would want to stick a succulent much closer to that light.
Probably, yes.
But
and it depends on them, and it depends on the light too. I've been talking to my friends in the African Violet group, and I'm like, "What are you using?" And like she's like, "Well, I have LEDs, T8s, and T12s." And I find that some of my plants, depending on the plant, really don't like the LEDs. Dark leaved violets don't need as much light as the variegated and the light leaved varieties. Because I find that those don't do very well under the LEDs. So then I put them back over under the T8s. They're kind of using a mix to see what works best. But any light that you're using, I wouldn't use incandescent, obviously, but you know, your TH, which are the fluorescent lights, or LEDs, they find that they have brighter flowers. They're flowering more consistently. The foliage is the color it should be. And a lot of people, if you're a busy person, they wick water. Wick watering is where it's a constant watering system. So they are really amending their soil to make it very, they use coarse perlite, which is what I use in all my mixes. It's called horticulture perlite. It's much coarser than that really fine. There's fine, coarse, medium, and then there's really big, you know, perlite. So we use the coarse perlite. So we really amend our soil so it is fast draining so that we can wick water it. I wouldn't wick water the African violet you just went to the grocery store or, you know, just bought. It is full of all that peat. If you put a wick in there, it's going to keep it too wet and it will not make it.
You hear that slurping, plant friends? That is me on my dregs of my daily dose of greens, courtesy of today's sponsor, Equilibria. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. I always have loved green juice and greens powders. Obviously, I love plants. I love growing plants. I love eating plants. Plants are good for you. And I have tried most greens powders brands on the market, honestly, at this point. I have to say, I'm really loving the Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens. I might argue it's probably one of the best tasting greens powders I've ever had, and that says a lot because I've tried most of them. The Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens contains an immune antioxidant and detox blend, along with prebiotics, probiotics, and over 35 fruits and veggies. There's no way I'm eating 35 fruits and vegetables throughout the day, but I love that I'm getting little doses and the micronutrients that are in each of the different veggies and fruits, right? Plus, they're certified organic, which I love. A lot of the competitors are not. I just mix one scoop of the greens powder into my water every day, and I'm shocked at how delicious this powder tastes. It's kind of like apple juice. I started back on the greens powder bandwagon because this spring, in this like season of rejuvenation, I'm kind of rejuvenating, doing an overhaul of my health. I've returned to my workout routine. I'm getting in more sleep. I've recommitted to my morning practice, and I've made this Equilibria Nutri-Greens part of that morning practice, drinking the powder in water in the morning. Plus, I love a female-founded company, right? Don't we all? If you want to try this greens powder, Equilibria is hooking you up with 15% off. Head to myeq.com and use code BLOOM for 15% off Equilibria's daily Nutri-Greens and so many other different products on their website. That's myeq.com and use code BLOOM at checkout for 15% off site-wide today.
You know, there are a lot of self-watering pots out there right now. I've been testing one for a company called Wick and Grow. We had another listener write in asking, if you bought one at the grocery store, would you recommend repotting it into a self-watering kind of Wick and Grow setup? Or do you think the better potting situation for an African violet would be to just pot it in a normal pot and then just be on the watering schedule? Or do you think either works?
It just depends. You know, if you're under lights, I think that the wick watering method, and a lot of people use the wick watering method just because they have so many plants, you know, mm-hmm. So they can just fill that wick, fill that reservoir with water. It's wicking up into the plant and they can, you know, walk away for a while. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, some people want to mess with their plants every single day and really check them, then it's fine. If you have a lot of violets, some people just use it's like a deli container that you get mm-hmm. your deli salad in, and they drill two holes in the lid, and one is where you can pour the water in, and the other one is where the wick comes out of the plant and goes down into the water.
Right, right.
And it's not very attractive, but then they have these. They have all kinds of beautiful, like the Oyama pots, which the perlite acts as the wick. You'd have to look it up. It's called mm-hmm. Oyama pots. And then there's dandy pots. They're really cute, pretty, different colors. So there's all different kinds. And then there's okay. the ones, the self-watering, that have they have the glazed pot on the outside and the unglazed pot on the inside. So then the water just soaks through them. A non-glazed pot.
Perfect.
And waters it. So yeah, I think they're worth it, especially if you're a busy person and you forget to water.
Maybe you can shoot me a list of those pots and I can include them, and they'll be included in the show notes so our listeners can go check them out. Okay, so we're doing medium light. We're doing consistently moist soil, so not letting it dry out. And we've talked about soil, so we want the actual growing medium to be draining, to have that perlite. Be careful if it's an all peat based when you bring it home. And bottom watering versus wick watering versus top watering, it sounds like do what works best for you. I feel
correct.
Like that
exactly.
Watering is so, like, it's so specific. I personally love bottom watering as many plants as I possibly can because I just think it's faster. Yeah, no, but I haven't watered my African violet, so that's maybe it's something I should experiment with.
Well, it's just what I'm saying was with any bottom watering, if you're fertilizing your plants and right. you're always bottom watering, like especially if you're not using an organic fertilizer, all those salts and stuff are building up in your soil. So at least every fourth watering, let's say, and mm-hmm. it may be once a month, it may be once every month and a half or so, you should flush the soil from the top. Like
okay.
really water it through until it really runs out the drain hole, and you let it completely drain, not even in the saucer, you know, just like let it really, really run the water through to flush mm-hmm. all that stuff out.
Yeah.
Any plant that you're bottom watering consistently.
Okay. So let's talk fertilizing, because this is another, like I have, Espoma makes an African violet fertilizer specifically for violet. So how often should we be fertilizing? When do we fertilize? What do you like to use? Let's talk all things fertilizing.
Okay. Let's talk if you're in the window first. So, you know, when you're growing plants in natural light, you're probably not, I wouldn't, here in the northern hemisphere, in the north, I'm in Michigan, I don't really fertilize between maybe September, October, until I see the plants waking up again in the spring. Maybe I'll probably start fertilizing here in the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
Because they're kind of resting and they don't really need the fertilizer. I would use, I just use a 20-20-20, which is, I use Peter's Professional. It's a water soluble, but you can use any. And I know that the African Violet people, a lot of them use Super Thrive, a drop of Super Thrive every time in their watering container. And I never really use full strength of anything that they, you know, because our plants aren't growing outside and it's, I think full strength is a little too much. And you can water, you know, you can fertilize what, maybe half strength or three quarters strength every fourth watering, or you could give an eighth to a quarter teaspoon every time you water. So you're consistently giving them nutrients, kind of like a vitamin, right?
Okay.
Instead of just like giving them a big dose of fertilizer once a month or once every fourth watering, whatever that may be. So,
so sorry, did you say either do once a month, full dose of fertilizing?
Well, never full dose, maybe three quarters.
Three quarters. Or every watering, quarter dose, you said?
A quarter, an eighth to a quarter, yes.
An eighth to a quarter. Okay, cool. Yes. And when it's in bloom, do you fertilize more or less versus when it's not in bloom?
Most of the people that grow African violets, they start, they just use that kind of 20-20-20 as well. Then when they're getting ready to show them, or they have a, we have a sale, then they'll, about 8 weeks before, then they'll start using the bloom booster. So then that was, that means it has that high middle number that's going to make their blossoms, you know, better, a brighter, more vibrant color, maybe make their blossoms bigger, last longer. So then they'll switch over. But as a rule, they don't use anything with that higher number all the time. It's just not necessary.
Okay. And for someone like me who probably just has, or like, I think the majority of my listeners probably just have like one plant fertilizer.
That would be fine.
Not tampering. Do you think that you do give an extra boost, or if you're not altering which fertilizer you do, or just continue fertilizing on a normal schedule around the blooms?
Oh, I think you can just, I think it's fine to fertilize them when they're blooming. I mean, I don't think that's a, I don't think that's a problem.
Cool. What about when my plant, like, it looked like it was blushing? Is that a thing that African violets do?
I have never noticed that. I, when you said that they were yellowing or blushing, I kind of think that meant that they were on their way out.
I felt like the plant turned
on their way out
before, on their way out. But I do, well, I feel like it turned a different color either before or after a bloom.
No, I've never noticed that, but don't, you know,
my memory doesn't serve
the most observant all the time. Yeah. I have so many plants. I'm not that observant to that.
I also never fertilized. I don't think it got fertilized this year while I was gone. So I'm wondering if maybe it was just nutrient deficient and it was turning yellow.
That could be, especially since it was under lights, because they're going to use, it would, you know, they're more consistent fertilizing when plants are under lights, because, you know, they're growing more, you know, they're not slowing down ever.
Okay.
They're never slowing down like they do here in the winter. And, you know, I tell people, I'm not the most consistent or regular person fertilizing over here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, your plants don't really have to have fertilizer. I mean, they don't. What's giving them their food is the sun. So fertilizer is just nutrients. But it does
help. Feel like, well, also something I'm noticing, and this is a separate episode, but a lot of my plants are hitting their 2-year mark with me from when I had repotted them previously, because I got a lot of plants 2 years ago when I had like really was in the beginning of starting this podcast. And so I'm noticing 2 years in the pot in the soil, which now is not as nutrient rich because it's been used. I'm thinking that it needs, my plants need more fertilizer than maybe
or
when they
repot
were in
them.
Fresh soil. Exactly.
Right.
So it's time to, and we're hitting that 2-year mark where like, I feel like it's generally recommended every like 2 years you repot your plants. So I am noticing that I feel like my plants are starting to look sadder than normal. And I think it's just because it's time they all like need, they, I feel like they all need to be repotted, but I'm trying to like wait until the spring, but I'm like in this weird moment of like, okay guys, like just hang in there for me.
Right.
I don't want to repot you in the dead of winter, but anyway, that's a different story for a different day.
I always tell people, you know, when you say that with any plant, is where everything in the world's decomposing, including us. Look in the mirror, right? Mm-hmm. I try not to look in the mirror too much. Anyway, but you know, so that soil is decomposing as well. And when it decomposes, it's it's getting, what do you want to say? It's making the air spaces less, and your roots need air. They need oxygen. Right. So if it's getting compacted because it's decomposing, yes, it's time to repot them.
Yeah. Okay. So Patreon supporter Chelsea wants to know about bloom cycles and what do we expect? Like, when should we expect the plant to bloom? What is the bloom cycle? Can we get a plant to rebloom?
You should be able to if it has the correct light. So I tell people everything I say, and like I said, I grow under light. So my violets are almost continually in bloom, but they'll have a big flush and then they'll kind of rest a little bit. And then, you know, they'll get another flush again. But I tell people, if you have a plant that's supposed to bloom and it hasn't bloomed within a year, I mean, everything should bloom within a cycle of a year, right? Mm-hmm. And if it hasn't, then it definitely needs more light. Because really, fertilizer is helpful, but I always tell people nothing makes your plant bloom except the sun. It needs more light.
Okay. So that's a good indicator. And that's exactly what happened to me when I had my African violet in super low light and it didn't bloom for like 6 months or a year. So I stuck it under my grow light and then all of a sudden it started blooming like crazy.
Yes.
So that's totally indicative of that. Now, is there an average amount of blooms that a general African violet should or does bloom a year? Like, is it once a quarter or once a month? Like, or is each violet really very different? Or,
well, I think they're going to bloom at least. Like I said, I'm not very observant. Mm-hmm. And it's different because I do grow mine under light. So they bloom often.
So it sounds like yours are blooming at least once a month, if not.
Well,
right. Okay.
Well, I wouldn't say once a month. I mean, once they get that big flush of blooms, like I said, and then those blooms are going to fade and then it will rest a little bit and then it will bring out some more blooms. The lady's house that we go to for our African Violet Society, we go there once a month and I swear has never changed. Everything's always in bloom. I mean,
wow.
She takes such good care of them and they're under lights and she has mirrors behind her light stand. So it's even reflecting more light.
Wow.
They're pretty amazing.
Ooh, that's amazing.
So they should be in bloom quite often. I mean, you should, if you have the right light, I mean, they're going to rest a little bit and then they're going to be back in bloom.
Okay. Now we've got some listener troubleshooting questions. Christine wants to know, her leaves end up, no matter what she does, her leaves end up getting droopy or curling in. Why does that happen?
And I wonder if it's the older leaves or all the leaves. I'm wondering.
Right. Because maybe those older leaves are drooping because it's time to pluck them off.
Yes. But, it could be that if it's happening consistently and she's not a consistent, I know these words aren't right. Like I say, I'm not a consistent fertilizer-er. Mm-hmm. If you're not keeping it consistently moist, mm-hmm. then it's going to wilt. And maybe because your roots have been damaged because they're so tiny, hair-like, fibrous roots, that then, you know, your leaves, it's kind of damaged and it can't recover and get mm-hmm. those leaves back up. So sometimes it's good too, if you've done that and your leaves are really droopy and they seem kind of not turgid, you know, they're kind of mushy, mm-hmm. but yeah, you've watered it and you feel like it's going to come back. Maybe put it in a little bit, put it in a plastic bag for a couple of days to hold that humidity and maybe it will recover if you've let it dry out too much. It can be curling if it has too much. If you know a plant's getting too much light, when it's curling down around the pot, it's like too much light. Get me away from the light. So I'm going to curl down and
It's like putting its arms, it's like shielding.
Yeah, like, growing down around the pot.
Okay.
It could be a many things. I'd have to
take a real look.
Yeah, yeah.
And Sylvia wants to know propagating. What's the best way to propagate one of these?
What is so nice is that you can make new plants from just one single leaf. So if you go to a friend's house and they're like, oh, I love your African violet. And they're like, hey, here's a leaf. Then you too can have that violet. So you just take a violet leaf with... Mm-hmm. It's petiole, it's stem.
Which is the petiole is, I learned this the other day because I had to take petiole cuttings of a peperomia that I had, but the petiole is the stem, is it's like the connecting part between the leaf and the stem of the plant.
And the main stem, yep. So you cut that about an inch long mm-hmm. and you cut it on, and you use a sharp knife and you cut it on a slant, mm-hmm. not straight across, at a slant. Mm-hmm. So there's more room for it to grow.
Okay.
Roots and babies. And then you're going to take a nice pot of potting medium that you're using, or you could use just pure perlite or pure vermiculite if you wanted, but you can just use your mix. That's what you have. And then I take like a pencil or some kind of a dowel or something. And I make a hole, you know, on a 45 degree angle so that when you're not just shoving that leaf into the soil, because then you're going to damage that end. So okay. I make a hole for it. I stick it in it and kind of at a slant, and I kind of pat the soil lightly down on that stem.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want it down too deep into the soil, because it will take longer for it to grow. And then it's going to grow, you know, first it's going to grow about a month. It's going to be growing roots. You're not going to see anything. Mm-hmm. And then about a month later, you're going to start seeing little babies coming up. And within a few months, then they're going to get to a size that you can plant them up separately. And one leaf could make multiple babies.
Cool. That's a fun experiment. Well, maybe my African violet that's circling the drain right now, I should do a leaf cutting from that and see if I could start a new plant from it.
Exactly. And I always
take the healthiest leaf.
Right. That, very good. You just said it. Don't take the oldest leaf that maybe is on its way out anyway, because it doesn't have a lot of energy left. Pick a up higher, you know, up the rosette. There's layers of leaves. Pick one that's a little closer to the top. That's a newer leaf, and you'll have more success. And you may want to just put a little, some people do, put a little plastic bag over it, or a little, put it in a terrarium so that it's, you know, you've cut that leaf off, it has no roots, so that it keeps the humidity up and it helps it sprout.
Interesting. Okay. So what are like the biggest problems that you see people deal with African violets in terms of like, is it root rot? Is it powdery mildew? Is there anything that we should look out for as African violet plant parents to just know that like these plants are more susceptible to blank?
At this time of year, yes, powdery mildew is a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, the cooler temperatures, not a lot of air movement. Because, you know, we turn it down at night. Plus, if they're near a window, it's cooler. And it'll look like someone dusted it with powder, like with flour. Mm-hmm. And like, what's going on? And that will kill a plant pretty quickly, because it's a fungus and it's spreading, and it's making it so the plant cannot photosynthesize, because it's like having dust on the leaves.
Okay.
So then I use something, a fungicide. You could use a fungicide, but neem oil works very well, which is a little, you know, more natural. I don't mind spraying that in the house and shutting a door and keeping, you know, cats away and stuff. But that works very well. Also, whenever you go to wherever you're buying your violets, a lot of times you'll notice that they have that little yellow pollen sac in the middle. And then you'll see pollen kind of dusted down on the leaves or on the petals, excuse me. And it's very easy to see it on a dark purple, because the yellow shows up very well. That means you have thrips. And thrips are little tiny insects. They're so hard to see. And they like to eat the pollen. They come in off of like cut flowers. They're usually on cut flowers. So there's no cut flowers coming in my house, because I don't want thrips. But it could be at the grocery store, because they do have cut flowers right next to the, you know, to the violets. So you just need to debud those and let the flowers, you know, keep the buds off for a while. Debud them when you bring them home, so you're not bringing anything to your other plants. Mm-hmm. And then that should usually take care of it, hopefully.
Okay.
So thrips, powdery mildew, crown rot is one, because if you're keeping them too wet, if they're buried too deep, like when I tell you to bury that neck, don't make sure the leaves aren't down in the soil, because that will.
Right. The leaves and their petioles should be above the soil.
Yes.
Okay.
So that is a problem. Or if you let the water sit in the middle. So those are the most, you know, and they can get mealybugs, they can get scale, but that's not as common.
Okay. Lisa, I learned so much. I don't know if I can resuscitate this African violet that I have now, but I feel very inspired to maybe order some online or go pick up one and start fresh now that I have all of this new knowledge.
Check out, I don't know if I can tell you that, like Linden Lion or Violet Barn are two of the big growers that, I mean, they've been doing it forever. Linden Lion has been in business for many, many years, and they ship them. Probably not this time of year would not be the best time to do that if you live in a colder area. But if you just look at the variety that they have, oh my goodness.
Okay, cool. We'll include those links in the show notes in case anyone else gets inspired to order a violet for themselves. Because I will say the violet this year has been one of my favorite plants, just from seeing the blooms. It really brings so much joy, and it's such a welcome addition of color amidst my tropical foliage green jungle that I have. So that's been awesome.
And I tell people, if there's I'm sure there's many in New York City, you know, that's because I know that's where you live. And because we have them here, you find a society. I mean, you will learn so much. People are so willing to share their knowledge. They'll share leaves with you. We have leaf swaps. It's amazing. So
that's so fun.
Find a society. It's amazing what you'll learn and what you'll see.
I think propagating would be really fun. And if our community listening in knows of any great African violet societies, maybe you can write us and we can update the blog associated with this episode with different societies that are thriving and part of our community.
And of course, the African Violet Society of America, they have a magazine. If you become a member, then you get a magazine 4 times a year.
Oh, that's fun.
Amazing articles and all kinds of stuff in it.
Oh, cool. So that's a great place to start. African Violet Association of American?
Of Society, America? AVSA, of African Violet Society of America.
Society of America. Yep. Okay, cool. So Lisa, where can we find you? Because you are such an amazing resource on all things low light, African Violet, so many things. I love your newsletter. I get your newsletter every week and I love all your blogs and all of the, instructional blogs that you give. So where can we find you and where can we find your book? Give us all the info.
So you can find me, everything about me at my website, thehouseplantguru.com. And then of course I'm on Facebook and Instagram and, you know, LinkedIn and all those social venues, but you can contact me if you have a question or you need help with something. If I can help you, I will. And so you can contact me through my website. You can order my books through my website. And of course you can get them at your local independent bookstore, Amazon, all those places.
Yeah. And Grow in the Dark. If you guys have low light areas of your apartment, Grow in the Dark is a great breakdown of low light environments. And then you have 50 plants that do well in low light and some really interesting plants. But yeah, so anyway, go check Lisa out. Lisa, thank you so much. I can't wait to go take a real, real long look at my African violet to see if I can resuscitate it or take a cutting. And I'll keep everyone posted on Instagram. Thank you, Lisa, for coming back onto the show and just being as lovely as per usual. I love my conversations with her. I'm so inspired and so excited to get some new African violets after this conversation. I kind of let you guys in on my latest plant fail. I've brought the little remainder of the original African violet. It's sitting next to me right now as I record this episode for you as my inspiration. It's looking very small and very sad. Maybe if I get it a friend, it'll perk up a little bit. It's not dead yet, though. After my conversation with Lisa, I repotted it and fixed a few things. So maybe it'll bounce back. Who knows? But anyway, I'm so excited. I'm so thankful for this conversation and so excited about the future blooms that I'll have in my apartment. And I encourage you guys to try this plant if it's something that calls to you, something that you're excited about. Thank you again to my Patreon supporters. You guys are amazing. If you're interested in joining our community of plant friends who are supporting the show monetarily on a monthly basis, you can check out patreon.com/bloomandgrowradio. And a big, big thank you to Plants by Post for bringing this episode to us this week. If you are interested in having healthy, happy plants delivered right to your door direct from the grower, check out plantsbypost.com and use code BLOOM20 for 20% off. So once again, that's plantsbypost.com, code BLOOM20 for 20% off. My plant friends, I'm so thankful to be back with you. I have missed you. I have been thinking about you, and I can't wait to just keep showing up for you and bringing you more educational planty content. So until next time, keep blooming and keep growing. Plant friends, thank you so much for tuning in today. If you like what you heard, make sure you are subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. And while you're making sure you're subscribed, why don't you head on over to the review section of whatever podcast player you're tuning into and leave us a review. I would greatly appreciate it. If you are interested in more fun and educational planty content, well, plant friend, I've got a whole lot for you. Subscribe to the Bloom and Grow YouTube show, which is my YouTube channel where I bring you along for my personal plant journey, as well as share informational content that pairs with our podcast episodes. Follow me at Bloom and Grow Radio on Instagram for behind-the-scenes sneak peeks at upcoming episodes, my daily planty lessons and thoughts, and most importantly, tune into my Instagram stories where I am constantly talking with you listeners and plant friends and polling you for content ideas, and I'm always interested in seeing what you're loving these days on Instagram. Join the Bloom and Grow mailing list and get a free download of the Molly Mansfield Keep Blooming print that she created exclusively for our community. And if you can, support Bloom and Grow Radio by becoming a plant friend on Patreon.
For as little as $4 a month, you not only help me bring these planty and informative episodes to thousands of ears around the world, but you will also get the super secret planty password to our exclusive Bloom and Grow Radio Garden Club Facebook group, which is a wonderfully active group of plant friends of the Bloom and Grow Radio podcast who make up what I like to call the plantiest corner of the internet. It is a lot of fun over there. And as always, my sweet plant friends, I am here for you. If you have ideas for episode topics, guests, or if you're possibly a business interested in sponsoring the show, reach out to me because I am here to help all of you keep blooming and keep growing. Make new plant friends, propagate knowledge, and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, Plant Friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group. So if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will pop up so you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible, so I made this cutie little Plant Parent Personality Quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.